Hi, welcome to Lighthouse Vineyard Church. Thank you for joining us. If you would like to know more about us, feel free to visit us online at lighthousevineyard.church. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. It's almost afternoon. Yeah, I'm like, is it morning? Yes, it's morning. Okay, so how many history buffs do we have here? Two. Three. Wow. First service, we had like 10. So I am not one, just so you know. I am not one. So, so my opening story, I was like, I needed to do some research on it. It's called the Revolutionary War. And that's sad. Because I did not pay attention in school. I did enough to pass my classes, and that's it. So I didn't pay attention much. Kids, pay attention. Pay attention in school. Yeah, because history, as the older I've gotten, the more history is like really cool, isn't it? Yeah, so Revolutionary War had a series of battles in it. It lasted several years, and it is the war that brought our freedom to this country, which is pretty amazing. But there was one key battle in this war that shifted the war. And does anybody know what that one is? Saratoga. The Battle of Saratoga. It was fought in 1777. It was between Canadians and Americans. And had they not won this battle, we may not have our freedom. It was a turning point, and they had to win this battle. They had to win it. The commander-in-chief was George Washington. Good job, guys. Commander-in-chief was George Washington, and he has quite a history and pretty amazing man, but he also had a lot of generals underneath him. There were over 70 generals underneath George Washington, which is a lot. Massive responsibility, massive. And I sure wouldn't want to be George Washington. But yeah, massive responsibility. But this was a war that needed to be won. It just needed to be won for everybody's sake. It needed to be won. And transitioning into talking about life, we have a lot of battles that go on in our lives, right? Life is just challenging. We have battles with relationships, with jobs, with like financial battles, relational battles, spiritual battles, it's just life. Yeah, but there are battles that we have to win. If we're going to be successful in life, if we're going to be able to move forward, we have to win these. And in the spiritual battle, there is the spiritual battle that is consistently going on around us. And too many times, we are not aware of it. And we just take it for granted. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." There's always a spiritual battle going on around us at the same time as our life battles. It's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. So hang on to that thought. We are in a summer series called Fully Committed. And we're talking about different Bible characters and talking about how were they fully committed to God and to the people around them, and what can we learn from them, and how can we apply that to our own lives. So a couple weeks ago, Clint talked about Joseph and how Joseph had a heart of forgiveness. Very good example of what forgiveness looks like. So if you did not hear that, go back and listen to that. It's a really good one. But today we're going to talk about Joshua. Joshua had a lot of battles that he had to win. He had to win them. He had to come out on top. A little background on Joshua. Joshua had a relationship with Moses. He had a very unique relationship with Moses. Moses was his mentor. Imagine having Moses as your mentor. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. So Moses was Joshua's mentor. Joshua was his assistant. So he was his servant, his assistant, whatever you want to call it. He was his sidekick. He was there with Moses. For 40 years, he was with Moses and learned a ton from him. He learned how to lead. He learned how to listen to God. He learned how to trust God. He learned how to partner with God in his life. Joshua goes back to Exodus. So we have the book of Joshua, but Joshua actually goes back to Exodus. And so we have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, then Joshua. But he actually goes back, we actually start hearing about him back in Exodus. And because he's training under Moses. And so part of his training was that Moses had him lead the battle against Amalek, and he won that battle. And he was with Moses when Moses went to Mount Sinai, and fire came down, and God showed up there. He was with Moses when the Ten Commandments were brought to him. He was with Moses all the time. And so he learned a lot from him. He was in the background, so there's not a lot about Joshua in the first five books of the Bible, but he was there training under Moses. Moses' call was to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, and then the leadership was transitioned to Joshua. And Joshua is then called to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. So that's where we're going to pick up. Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Very large territory. No one will be able to stand against you for all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Then verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So the title of today's message is Joshua, Fully Committed to Being Victorious. But let's pray, then I'll give you some things to consider. So Holy Spirit, will you come? Will you open ears to listen to your voice? Will you open eyes to see you? And minds, may we have the mind of Christ as we listen to your words, and open our hearts to receive your truth, Lord. We need you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, point number one. Like Joshua, we can be victorious by obeying our commander. Notice the capital C. God's commander. God was Joshua's commander. God was the one that Joshua listened to. God was the one that Joseph obeyed. Therefore, we should do that. God should be our commander. He should be the one that calls the shots in our life. Joshua chose to obey, and he chose to obey no matter the cost. He knew that he was going to be facing the battle after battle, actually, in order to take over the land that God had promised him and the Israelites. He knew there was going to be battles that he was going to be facing. He knew there was going to be a cost. He knew there were going to be injuries. He knew there were going to be deaths. He knew there was going to be just some chaos going on. He knew there was going to be a cost, but he still chose to obey God. A couple instructions that God gave to Joshua was in verse 7, starting in verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. I like the NLT translation. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave to you. Where did Moses get the instructions from? God. So the instructions are from God. Do not deviate from them. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Don't get off track. Stay on track with God. That's your next fill-in. Don't get off track with him. Obey all of the instructions from Moses. Colossians 3, verse 25 says, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. The NASB says, for the one who does wrong will receive the consequences. There are consequences when we disobey. A few years ago, Clint and I went to the Grand Canyon, and before we went, we decided if there's an opportunity to hike into the Grand Canyon, we're going to do it. And because we like hiking, it's one of our favorite things to do together. And so we discovered there is opportunity to hike into the Grand Canyon, and so we did. It was so cool. And so hiking down in was fine. It was great. But then we were hiking back up, which is not an easy hike, by the way. So we're hiking back up, and at some point, the trail is a little flat, and then it goes up on one side, but then the other side, it drops off, which is a little unnerving. And so at one point on the trail, I slipped and I fell. And luckily, I fell the right direction. But if I would have fell the other direction, I seriously could have gotten hurt. And it's true with any trail that we go to. If we don't stay on the marked trail, there's opportunity to get lost. There's opportunity to get hurt. You got to stay on track. It's true in life. It's true in our relationship with God. Stay on track with what God is calling you to do. Stay on track with what God is telling you to do. Because there's consequences if we don't. Another instruction that God gave to Joshua is stay in the Word. In verse 8 it says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Stay in the Word. We're cheating ourselves if we don't read the Bible. We're cheating ourselves if we don't study the Bible. We're cheating ourselves if we don't meditate on it. Not only are we cheating ourselves, we're cheating the people around us. Because we are better people when we do that. It's good for us. It's good for the people around us. It's good for the relationships in our lives. It's good for when we go to work. It's good for our coworkers. It's good for all the people around us. Stay in the Word. This obedience thing, pretty important. It's actually vital in our relationship with God. We need to choose obedience. When my kids were toddlers and small kids, I went to a parenting class. And in this parenting class, they taught first-time obedience, which I was like, whoa. I was like, this is really good. They taught first-time obedience. And the truth is that when we are parenting small children and we tell them to do something, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, what happens? Frustration comes, irritation comes, then anger comes, and it's just not good. It's just not good, right? So first-time obedience is teaching them to say, yes, Mom, the first time. Why do you do that? Because it's good for your sanity as a parent, and it's good for the people around them. It's good for your family. It's good for your relationship with them. It's just good in life. It's also for their safety. If your child is running towards the street, running towards danger, how many times do you want to tell them to stop? One time. It's also for their safety. They're running towards the stairs when they shouldn't be. How many times do you want to tell them to stop? One time. It's just a good parenting thing. It saved me from a lot of frustration. But it's also something, as kids like to push their boundaries a lot because they want to see where they're at in their relationship with you. They want to know, are you still in charge or am I? This is not a parenting class. But kids like to push their boundaries, and they want to know where they stand. So you need to continually remind them who has the authority. And so you need to teach them again. First time obedience. It's challenging, but it's so worth it. So worth it. How do you teach them that? Give them consequences. There's consequences. And there will be battles that will come. But it's worth teaching them that for your own sanity. But it's also in our relationship with God. We need to learn first-time obedience in our relationship with Him. Amen. Our Heavenly Father takes obedience seriously. It's what is best for us because He knows what is best for us. So when we choose to obey Him the first time, it's what's best for us. We often told our kids, you don't want a God spanking. I don't want a God spanking. So I'm going to choose to obey the first time. Am I great at it? No, because I'm human. But He continually wants to teach us first-time obedience because that is what's best for us. God is not going to move past your last act of disobedience. Just like your kid, you tell your kids to clean up their bedrooms, but they want to go play with the neighbor kids. Like, no, I told you to clean up your bedroom. And until you do that, you're not going to go play with the neighbor kids. That's what God does with us too. This is what I told you to do, because this is what is good for you. And we're not going to move on to the next thing until you obey in this area. God is the perfect parent. So why would we not say yes to him? Why would we not obey him? He is the perfect parent. Too many times we walk in consequences when we really don't have to. We really don't have to. Some examples in the Bible are Adam and Eve. God told them to not eat the fruit off of the tree. They did. And we're still paying for that today. It wasn't just Adam and Eve paying the consequences. It is still us, because there is sin. That's what brought sin into the world. We are still living with consequences from their choices. King David, he committed adultery and murder, and generations after him paid for that, because there was adultery and murder in that bloodline. The nation of Israel were disobedient to God, and so they lived in the wilderness for 40 years. There's consequences to disobedience. So we need to choose obedience to God. It's for our good, and it's for the good of people around us. Our next point is, like Joshua, we can be victorious by not giving into fear. Not giving into fear. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua had some big shoes to fill. Once Moses died, there were big shoes to fill. He had a massive responsibility to take the Israelites into the promised land. I'm guessing there was some fear. And there was some intimidation. Going into the battles, I mean, Joshua had the Israelites on his side to fight these battles. They were not trained. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. And now they're supposed to fight these battles to gain the promised land. They were going to be facing giants. They were going to be facing these trained men who knew how to fight. So I'm guessing there was fear and intimidation understanding this. The thing is that fear is so much a part of our lives, especially in the last few years, it's just magnified and magnified. We're afraid of getting sick. We're afraid of hanging out with people. We're afraid of just silly things that we should not be afraid of. We shouldn't be afraid of. We're afraid of losing our job. We're afraid of getting a job. We're afraid of getting married or not getting married. We're afraid of getting parents because of the responsibility that comes with it. So many things that we're afraid of when we really shouldn't be afraid of them. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's really encouraging. Our God is not the God of fear. He is the God of power and the God of love and of a sound mind. The next scripture is Isaiah 41:10. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Don't you love that? That is a verse that you want to put on your mirror, that you want to put in your car, you want to put it in front of you so you see it on a regular basis. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's a powerful God. Joshua was told over and over to be strong and courageous. Even when he was with Moses, he was told over and over. And even in the short scripture that we're looking at today, strong and courageous are in there three times. In three verses, be strong and courageous, be strong and very courageous, be strong and courageous are in there three times. This is important to God. The word courage, I found this quote about the word courage. The word courage actually comes from the Latin word for cor, which means heart. And this quote says, courage literally means strength of the heart. It is having the strength to do what is right in the face of fear, undertaking an overwhelming difficulty or pain despite the imminent and unavoidable presence of fear. More than a quality, it is a state of mind driven by a cause that makes the struggle all worth it. It is the willful choice to fight regardless of the consequences. It is the willful choice to fight regardless of the consequences. Joshua knew there were going to be consequences to the fight, but he was still willing to do it because it was the right thing to do. Because God said to do it. My daughter made a sign for me a few years ago that said, courageous obedience. Sometimes it takes courage to be obedient. It takes courage to say yes to God. Your next feeling is, courage is absolutely essential if we are going to live fearlessly. Choose courage, pick up courage, so that you can live a life that is fearless and victorious. So how do we do this? Leads us to our next point. Like Joshua, we can be victorious by trusting that God has our back. Verse 9, it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He's always with us. He promised Joshua that he would be with him wherever he goes. And that's just the character of God, that he's true to his word, he's faithful to his word, and he's trustworthy. He will be with us wherever we go. He's got our back. Joshua lived this out. In the book of Joshua, there are 13 recorded battles. The first one we read about is the Battle of Jericho. And the thing about Jericho was that God asked him to do something really strange. And, I mean, it was actually kind of crazy, because he said, Joshua, have your men march around the city one time for 6 days. What? And then on the seventh day, march around the city seven times, and then blow your trumpets, and you'll gain access to the city. It's crazy. Like, what in the world? What is marching gonna do? That's not carrying swords and weapons. That's just marching and making noise, right? What's that gonna do? But the thing is that Joshua had a history with God. God has proven to him that he was faithful. He proved to Joshua that he was trustworthy and he had his back consistently. Even through the 40 years that he was with Moses, he watched Moses walk that out too. Joshua knew without a doubt that God had his back, because he had seen it over and over and over, and he had experienced over and over and over. So when God calls us to do something crazy and weird, are we going to do it? Are we going to do it? So what's God calling you to that is kind of off the walls? And you might look a little strange if you do it. What is he saying to do? Is he saying to have your kids obey the first time? Yeah, most parents don't do that. That's weird. Or is he saying, obey me the first time? Because that's weird. Because obeying the first time is very abnormal, just so you know. Because you want to check your calendar, you want to check what's happening, you don't, you're like, oh, I don't know. It's just not my thing. What if God knows what's best for you? You know? The thing is that there are many people in our lives that will disappoint us. There are people in our lives that will discourage us, that will let us down, but God's promised that he's not going to. He's got our backs. But it's up to us to trust him that he's going to do that for us. So my last question to you today is, what are you not trusting God with today? What is your hard yes to him right now? I've got some hard yeses right now. But what are the hard yeses in your life to God? We need to count on God so that we can accomplish what he has called us to do. We have to count on him. We have to trust him. So in closing, we can be like Joshua and be victorious by obeying our commander, capital C, commander, God of the universe, and not giving into fear and trusting that God has our back. That is how we can be victorious. So I'm going to ask the worship.
Well, that's it for today's message. We hope we helped you know God more intimately. If you feel our ministry is helping you spiritually, feel free to find out more about us at lighthouseofvineyard.church. Thank you for being part of our family, and we will see you next time.